Amen. Praise God. And send forth your word and let there be light. We're talking about the darkness and all that kind of stuff that surrounds us. Well, the only thing that's going to break that darkness in our families, in our own hearts, in this nation, is the light and the grace and the power and the might of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and His living Word, which, if you don't know it, it is the King James Bible. Amen. And so continually read it, apply it to your lives in a real personal way. Adjust your lives to what it says. Praying and looking at what's going on in the world today. Often we can get discouraged. Often we can get consumed by the wickedness that appears. What would happen when we really start to possess the things that we profess? Right? We profess in faith, we profess in power, we profess in the might and the majesty of God. What if the church starts possessing it more than just confessing it? I really start grabbing a hold of it and putting on Jesus Christ as a mantle in your life. The Word of God, not just as something we read or we think about, but something that we actually indwell in, right? That Jesus would be that covering, that propitiation, that fullness of grace. We went through a thing called the Truth Project a couple years back. And one thing that stuck out in me, you know, we're not into the follow the man's written book to guide you into the righteousness of God thing here. We follow the book of God and it leads us into His righteousness. But there is one quote that he had for the churches. If we really believe what we say we believe is real, that stuck in me. What would happen if the church, the born-again believer, really believed the things that we confess as real as a reality in our day-to-day lives? What would the world see? Again, they would see the love, right? They would know that we're a Christian by our love one for another. They would know the reality of the power of the Most High God as it dwells in the midst of His people. Which, in that thought, in my prayer life this week and just seeking the Lord, He laid on my heart Romans chapter 13. And if you'll open your Bibles there, and we'll pick up in verse 11. And we're going to be, when we get there to Romans 13, we're going to be looking at a couple of things that are written in this outpouring of the might and the power of God. Everybody there? Excuse me. Donuts before you preach is never a good thing. Oh. When I say Melanta, that's what I'm asking for. That's a little Melanta here. And so anyhow, thank you, Kevin, for telling me sugar is bad for me. And I mocked you, and I'm standing here in intestinal...
Hey, I've been mocked before.
Intestinal confusion here. And so if you can stay away from the sugary things, do it, you know. I like when I changed in my six-pack for a keg, right? And so it's just no ripples here. It's nice and round. And so anyhow...
Smooth.
The one pack. Amen. Anyhow, if you're there, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Father, as we open up these portions of scripture here that you've given us today, I pray that you would speak to your church in a real personal way, Father, that we would know the truth that you've laid out for us, that indeed your church, your people group would become alive, Father, that we would confess that we've been asleep or that we've been in a coma for a long time. And Lord, we're needing a stirring of the Spirit of God within the body of Christ, the church, that we can become effective in this our day. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Christ's name. Amen. There's so many things we could get into 13, but Lord laid me here on this. And so, and that knowing the time, all right, it says knowing the time that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lots of stuff there in that little block of scripture. First thing that we need to know, do you understand the time that we're in? Do you, as the body of Christ, see what's going on in the physical world because of the spiritual world that we're dealing with?
Yes.
We're not warring against powers and principalities. Well, we are. We're not warring against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. Understand this, the battle that we need to entertain is not one of flesh and blood, but it is one of a spiritual nature. See, we need to awaken to that truth, to come out of the deep slumber that the church has been in, I dare say, for 100 years or more here in America especially. And as I'm looking at, it's not just here, it is worldwide. This is a global phenomena that has not been seen since the days of Noah. And we're going to get into that a little bit if the Lord allows us to get that far. Knowing the time, that it is now high time to awaken out of your sleep. Do you feel that the church is asleep? I mean, there are some folks that are awake, don't get me wrong, not woke, because if you're woke, you're really asleep, right? But I mean really and truly awake. All right, now, who here has a problem waking up in the mornings? Right, you get a little groggy, that kind of stuff. God bless me with the, I don't know why it is, but when I wake, awake I am. Right? It's not like I need 2 minutes to stretch or nothing like that. I roll out of bed, I throw on my clothes, my shoes, and I am prepared to tackle a bowl of cereal. No, prepared to tackle whatever comes up, right? And that's, in fact, my wife will tell you that's the strongest part of my day is the morning. I wake up and that's when I'm strongest in prayer, that's when I'm strongest in being able to read and comprehend the Word of God. I think that's because not too much of the world has really infiltrated my thought process. But it's when I first wake. I believe, and I really believe this, folks, that the times that we're living in right now, God is awakening the true body of Christ. The folks who are really studying and looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, they are awakening to the times that we're in, and adjusting their life to the kingdom that is coming, not the kingdoms that are in virtual control right now. And I'll put it that way. It's virtual control. It looks like they're really in control. It looks like the kingdoms of the world are really victorious. But again, Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. He used them to draw his people out of a sinful lifestyle and bring them back to a righteous and holy and loving God. Remember, I know the plans that I have for you, right? In Jeremiah 29. I know those plans that I have for you. Now, I'm sending you into captivity because of your sin. And as we're going through Jeremiah, it wasn't just the sin not allowing your land to rest. All right? That wasn't the sin. There is a plethora of sin that was in the nation of Judah and Jerusalem at that time. It was deep and thick. Last Wednesday, we went over the priests, the pastors. And again, America, the reason that this nation is in such a miserable state is because there are not enough men behind the pulpit with testosterone and a backbone.
Right?
They're afraid. Right. They're scared of the banking system. They're scared of the congregation. And we're taught that we're not supposed to be afraid. We're not supposed. I fear God way more than I fear man. What can man do to you? Right, Tom? What's the worst they can do? Send you home early. Right? Praise God. Yes, you want to send me to glory? Okay, you will find me preaching the Word of God as the Word of God says, states, the whole Word of God, all the way until God takes me out of here. And there is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper, right? It's not that it isn't formed, it isn't that you're not going to be in the battle, but one thing it won't do, it will not prosper even if it kills you. Again, Jesus told Peter that the gates of hell, I will build my church upon this rock. I will build my church. And that rock is the testimony that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of the living God. On this rock, I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't say it's not going to war against it. Doesn't say it's not going to be hard for the church. It says that it will not have victory. You know how any invading army gets victory over the place they're coming to? The folks need to be asleep. The folks need to be not paying attention. The watchmen on the wall, you know, they're not watching. They're not paying attention. They're not looking for the incoming horde of the enemy coming. They're just living life. Very much like it was in Noah's day or in Sodom and Gomorrah's day and those times. And if God's going to allow us to get that far, because I haven't gotten out of the first sentence of this one yet. So anyhow, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of our sleep. Knowing the time, which brought me to a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to have you turn, if you don't mind, 1st and 2nd Timothy and 2nd Peter. So when you get to 1st Timothy, we're going to look just a little bit at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. Anyone know where I'm going here? It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, right? And I'll ask again, does anyone know where I'm going here? It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Say amen when you get there. Amen. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I like to start a chapter in the very first verse if you got the opportunity. Now the Spirit expressly, alright, the Spirit speaketh expressly. That expressly means He lets you know that there is no doubt. He's giving you a pinpoint, right? Expressly. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. I'm just going to add a little, not that I'm adding to the word, because I'm going to keep on. But right now, have you seen any of the new insect food that they're trying to shove down your throat? Real meat's bad for you. Cows have gas, and when they do their gas thing, it affects the ozone layer, and hold on. Who was that chick that said in 5 years ago we're going to all be dead? There were no ice. Thunderbird. Yeah. Thunderbird. The little 14-year-old prophetess. 5 years. You got 5 years. Told us 6 years ago. 5 years. 5 years. You're all going to be dead. It's never going to snow again. Snowing right now. Oh, yeah, she deleted that. It took her 5 years to do it, but she deleted that tweet. Amen. Do you see how stupid it is? The Bible tells me meat is good, and He gave it to us to eat. Now, if you're a vegetarian, you want to do that, praise God for you. Paul says that if you only eat vegetables, you're weak. Alright. Amen? Right? Am I right? And so anyhow, but now I'm not going to go down that road. What I am going is that God, to abstain from meats, which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving, to them which believe and know the truth. Find you a farmer, eat meat. Alright? Eat meat. God created it, pray over it, chew on it, it is good for you. Stay away from sugars, like my brother told me as I was eating a double stuffed triple cream donut, right? for breakfast this morning. He's saying, you shouldn't eat that. It's going to make you feel like I feel now. I'm on a sugar high. Can you tell? I'm like bouncing off the walls. My ADD is adding up, right? Anyhow, let me pray right now because I'm getting silly. Father, I pray even now, Lord Jesus, with the chemical reaction that's going on the inside of me. Actually, it's a spiritual war. Father, I'm not here to be humorous, but Father, keep us focused on your word. Keep me focused in your word, what you have for the church today. Father, forgive me for treating this lightly. Lord God, and I ask even now for that forgiveness, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's start all over. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou, okay, this could be put to you, now he's writing to Timothy, but this is for you too, Joshua, for me. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister, servant, all right, minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. All right? Waking up to this time that we're in, do you notice that some are giving over to departing from the faith? Do you see that? This is written to the church. This is not written that the world's going to act more like the world. This is written because of the church of Jesus Christ is going to be given over to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and a lot of people are going to believe that in the latter times. Okay, quick question. Do you see that alive in the church?
Yes.
Amen? Jesus talked about the tares and the wheat. They're planted at the same time. Coming to the harvest, you start seeing the difference between the wheat and the tares. The tares begin to look more and more wicked, more and more black, more and more deadly. But the wheat continues to look more and more righteous and great. And when you plant that, thank you, Lord, for this. When you plant the two together in your garden, what grows faster, the vegetables or the weeds?
The weeds.
The weeds do. Which do you got to deal with?
The weeds.
The weeds. Church, it's time for us to waken out of our sleep because our salvation is nearer than what we might think it is. I don't know when these last 3.5 years are going to happen. I do not know, but I am told through Jesus Christ, through Matthew 24 and Luke 17 and in Mark again, he tells us that there are certain things to look forward to. It tells us in 1 Timothy right here that there are certain things to look forward to that they're going to tell you to abstain from meat. That has never happened until this time.
Yep.
They never did this. The government never did this until now.
Yep.
All right, we're seeing things that was prophesied that would happen in the latter days. I'm telling you, I don't know when the 3.5 starts, but I do know it's not 7 years. That is a doctrine of demons. I do not believe, because the Word does not support it, that once you pray and confess your sin, you pray without conversion, that you're saved forever and ever and ever. So say the prayer after me and then live like hell and you'll go to heaven. That's not the Scripture. In fact, the Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 6 and 16 and following, that there's a list of the flesh. There are certain things, and if you do such things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall what? Not. Alright, so those folks who call themselves Christian, but you can go and do what the world does, and I was told by a fellow who I love, and anyhow, he deals with a pastor who is a drunken whoremonger. But he still teaches the Word of God. I fear for that man. I'm not casting stones at him, but by the grace of their God, I go. Right? Only by God's grace am I kept from that, and my determination that I will not be drugged down that way because I fear God more than I fear man. Right? My wife is part of a woman's pastor's wives group on, I don't know, she's not part of it. I'm not a pastor's wife, so I don't pay attention. But she tells me about these things that pastors around America, or pastors' wives around America are dealing with. Pastors in sexual sin, having sexual relationships with members of their own church, the pianist or, you know, the choir director or the youth person. And sometimes it's not even opposite sex stuff. It's wicked. And it's in the pulpits. And they're preaching the Word of God. Pastors getting DUIs. Anathema. Ooh. That boils. That gets my goat. All right, it just, because it should not be that way for pastors to do that. But that's what causes the church to fall asleep. Why is the church membership declining like a rock being kicked off the side of a hill? It's because the truth of God's Word, the fear of God, is not being taught to the body of Christ in a real practical manner in America. And kids, they're growing up, right? How many people that you know that the children were brought up in the church, but quick as they got out of their parents' tutelage, immediately they go into the world, and the vast majority of them are lost in the world. Why is that? Well, first, I blame the parents, all right? And then I blame the churches. I blame youth groups, right? And I mean, when I say this, I'm going to make some folks mad. All right? Foaming at the mouth, spitting blood out of the ears, mad. Awana is not right. All right? Nothing wrong with memorizing scripture. Amen? But Awana, how many here have been part of Awana? Right? And did they not teach you just to memorize this, right? And you got so many one-liners that you memorize over and over and over, and then you get a medal for it. But it didn't really teach the deeper things of God. It taught the one-liner things. It taught the one scripture. It taught John 3:16 or, you know, this, that, and the other. And these highlighted scriptures, and if you memorize 130 highlighted scriptures, then you win a prize. Am I right about the whole concept there? I'm not certain that that's what studying the Word of God is about. Lucifer knew the Bible, right? Amen? He knows the Bible. But he didn't follow the whole of the Bible. He only had this one little scripture that he hung on as he tempted Jesus. Again, a lot of folks, well, I'd rather have them in Awana than have them in the whatever group. Amen and amen. But the structuring of that organization inside of the body of Christ is not teaching the fullness of God. Right? It's not teaching the full scripture. Nothing wrong with memorizing scripture, okay? I'm not saying that. But putting everything you have in this small block of scripture gives heed or gives an opening for seducing spirits to come in, for lies and hypocrisy to start taking ground and root inside of the body of Christ. And that's been going on ever since the church was birthed. Even John, in 1 John, said many antichrists to come out from us. And that's John, the apostle of Jesus. So, the first church, right? Yeah. He said that this problem's been going on for a long time. And I didn't mean to pick on Awana or anything like that. What I'm saying is right here in these scriptures that these things are real that we're seeing, that there's times coming up and the church needs to be aware of these things. Forbidding to marry. That hasn't come up to forbidding to marry, but have you noticed how marriage has come down from what it used to be. Right? You used to grow up and you wanted to get married. Amen? You wanted to be married. I can't wait till I'm married. I said that many times. God, protect my flesh. Keep me out of that. Amen? There are some things going... Can't you tell I'm wrestling in my head today? That there is, as I'm speaking these things, there's another voice inside. You can make humor out of that. Make them laugh. Make them laugh. Stop it, Curtis. All right? This is not a laughing matter because it's time for the church to awaken. It's time for us to get real with Jesus Christ. Salvation is nearer when we first believed. I have 4, 1 through 16, and we stopped at 8. 4, verse 8. For the body... For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having a promise of life that is now and of that which is to come. How many people that we know, right, that spend a lot of time worrying about their physical shape? Right? I'm here to pump you up. Right? And I know Christians that spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours lifting things up, putting things down, lifting things up and putting things down, doing the stretchy thing, running on a treadmill that goes nowhere, right? And there's nothing wrong with being in physical shape, all right? But if that's where your God is, let you know, you will die a good-looking corpse, and you will go to hell, a good-looking corpse. But you're still going to be a corpse, right? My brother in the sugar thing, praise God for that. Stop, Curtis. Please. Help me wrestle here, okay? Help me wrestle here. Anyhow.
Curtis.
Yes, my brother.
Verse 9.
Thank you. Amen. It is a faithful saying and worthy of all... thank you. What's that word mean?
To accept.
To acceptance. Amen. Of all... acceptance. I cannot say that word. That's why I skipped it. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in the world, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with laying on of hands, of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Did you see in that little portion of scripture where the papistry, the pastors have fallen? What's he supposed to do? He needs to be living in the truth of God, all right, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things I command and teach. These things we're supposed to teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou examples to the believers. You, as a believer, need to be an example to the world, right? Joshua says this quite a bit. They will look at your lifestyle before they will listen to the preaching of the Bible. Live a lifestyle that will draw people closer. But you need to have the Word of God in you, in your conversation, that's your daily life. You need to have the Word of God in your charity, that's your love for one another. You need to have the Word of God inside of your spirit and in faith, in purity. How many folks in the church today even consider their purity as part of your walk? Well, you know, I'm just going to watch this little thing. You know, no one's really going to know. I tell you, folks, the stuff that you let into your eyes and you let into your ears embeds in your heart. And it perverts the purity. This little child right here, pure right now, innocent. And it's up to you parents and you grandparents to protect those little ears and those little eyes until they grow up to be like John. Amen? Right? No, until we grow up to be like Christ. Because I don't want them to be like John. John's a sinner. He's come short of the glory of God. We need to be like Christ. Amen? Don't grow up and be like me. Grow up and be like Jesus. That's where we need to be teaching our children. We need to have these things alive. See, the problem in the church today is we're asleep. We're not looking at these things that Paul told Timothy to practice in his daily life. All right, and it says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading. All right, read your Bibles. All right, in exhortation, talk about what you read. Talk about your Bible. Talk when you speak the oracles of God. Right, to doctrine. The early church, do you know what made them grow exponentially? Where is this? This will be in Acts chapter 2. Okay. Amen. Oh, okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. All right. Now, this is the very beginning of the New Testament church. This is when most Christians were still Jewish. All right. Now, oh, wow. Do you know that Christians were Jewish? Peter was Jewish. John was Jewish. All those. Jesus? Jesus was Jewish. All right. Understand this, so don't hate the Jews. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Whose doctrine do they stand in? Whose doctrine did they stand in? The apostles' doctrine, which was
Christ.
Amen. Amen. Standing in the written word of God, standing in the truth of God, not giving heed to seducing spirits, not giving heed to the doctrines of devils, not giving heed to the teachings of man, but the church grew because of the preaching of the word. Praise God for this. Thank you, Lord. Asbury was not a revival, people. Asbury was not a revival. And the thing that's going around America right now is not a revival. You need the preaching of God's word for a revival to start. Paul stood up and he preached the word of God. And those who believed, they were baptized. There was a water baptism, no doubt. But they didn't baptize 3,000 people in one day. But the Holy Spirit baptized those guys. There was a baptism. And that baptism was the power of God coming in them. And those that were added to the church were 3,000. And they continued steadfastly. How? Steadfastly. Does that mean that they came just when they felt like it? When the mood struck them? When their boss allowed them? No. They came steadfastly and they stayed underneath the teachings, the doctrines of the apostles. They stood underneath the covenant of God Almighty. What's going to make the church grow? When we get back to the doctrines that are written in the Word of God. Not these wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed, wimpy, no power preaching, sir. They ain't even preaching. Unicorns and rainbows. When we put those back in the corrals and get back to the written word of God, the power of God revival will start. Amen. But it doesn't start from singing pretty songs. Don't get me wrong. We ought to worship God in song. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. But what I am saying, if that is the core of your revival, it ain't a revival. It's a movement of emotions.
Yeah.
All right? And I've been a part of many emotional movements. I really have. The seven promises of the promise keepers. Great promises, amen? But what came of that? Not much. Not much. You know, T.D. Jakes was a big part of that. What's he preach now? Wealth and prosperity. He doesn't talk about the suffering. He doesn't talk about the righteousness of God. He doesn't talk about the doctrine of the apostles. Be your best today. Grab the best life that you can grab today. And praise God for 1995. I'll give you this rag. Right? My prayer cloth. He doesn't believe the Trinity. There's a lot of false doctrine. Doctrines of devils come out of those guys. All right? And so, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Wow. Catch this. They stayed in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed fellowshipping. Every time the doors were open, where were they at? Fellowshipping. All right? And then they broke bread together. Right? That means I'm coming over to your house for supper. Right? Yeah, they broke bread together. They enjoyed having time with each other. Right? I got news for you folks. Y'all want good fellowship? Go to Alan's house. Yeah. Really, he has a spirit of fellowship. It doesn't matter what time you knock on his door. He'll open it up. And he might tell you, wait a second until I get dressed, but he'll open up the door and he'll put on a pot of... I've been there. Amen. I'm in my shorts right now. Let me put on some pants. But anyhow, and he'll invite you in. Jim and Diane, the same thing. You come to their house, knock on their door, 3 o'clock in the morning. You got a problem, sit down. They will make a pot of... I know they'll do it. I know that. Joshua, the same way. Don't do it to me. No, you come to my house. You get me, you wake me up, all right? Quick as I put my gun back away. You can wake me up, right? And you can come in my house. I'll make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We will sit down. We will talk. We will pray for one another. We'll have that fellowship. That is the love that the world will see inside of the body of Christ. As we see the day approaching, we need to apply these things. We need to stick to the apostles' doctrine in fellowship, breaking bread, and in prayers. Church, we need to start praying. I did a little mini-series. It's only like 5 or 6 weeks long about prayer. People, we need to get serious with God. We need to really start fasting. We really need to start praying. I don't know when the 3.5 years is going to start. I don't. There'll be some things that we see. There's a crescendo that builds up to that, and we're watching the crescendo coming up. We're watching it. Everything is getting louder and faster and faster. The heartbeats are going more and more and more towards wickedness. This is time for the church to wake up out of the slumber that they're in and get back to the very basics of the Word of God, the truth of His written Word, the love and the power and the might and the majesty that He has. All right, and then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders were done by the apostles. By the who? Apostles. How many apostles were there? 12. Come on, 12, right? So these folks that are calling themselves apostles right now, what are they? Liars. They are liars. The truth is not in them. There is no new apostleship on this earth. A lot of folks might take offense to that. I tell you what, put a gate in that fence. Take offense. Anyhow. Because you need to get out of it. You need to get away out of that belief system. There are no new apostleships. Because to be an apostle, you had to see the risen Christ. Right? That happened 2,000 plus years ago. I don't think there's one of us here that's over 2,000 years old. Jim's close. Right? But there's none of us are there. None of us are there. You cannot be the biblical meaning of apostleship. Now, healings, right? Prophecies. How many of these apostles said that Trump was going to be the next president? Don't worry about it. No problem. And they're still saying this garbage. A lot of people are saying that the government, those apostles are saying that the church is going to change the government. Where does that teach in the Bible?
Nowhere.
Not a scripture. Not one. We ain't changing the government. In fact, we're not even supposed to trust in the worldly government. We're supposed to wrestle against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms, right? We're not supposed to wrestle against the powers of this temporary world. I ain't scared of these people. Why? Even though God allows them to slay me, yet will I trust in God. Not the powers and principalities of this world. It's ignorant. just is by willingly, willfully, biblically ignorant because they didn't do what Paul told Timothy to do about studying the Word of God, living in purity, give your attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and not neglecting the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within the heart of every single believer in Jesus Christ. Don't neglect that. Feed it. Love it. Walk in the righteousness and the holiness that is in God's Word. Adjust your life to what He has for you. While we're still in this mode of thinking here, go to 2 Timothy. It's just a couple pages over. And again, we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 3.
Amen.
Amen. Now, see if you recognize any of these things that he's going to talk about here. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I don't see that anywhere. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away by with diverse lusts, learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. And then he talks about such were these the two that withstood Moses, right? And the reason I went that way, I stopped right there on purpose. Are we in global perilous times? Now, this isn't perilous times of the world. This is perilous times in the church. He's not, again, he's not talking about the lost. He's not talking about the Muslims. He's not talking about the drunkard down the street. They've always been in that time. But this is for the church, the born again, the confessing people of Christ. Perilous times are going to come. Why? Because men will be lovers of their own selves. Do you see it?
Amen.
In the church? Do you see it in the church? People lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God? In the church? I'd love to come to worship, but I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I'd love to come and have fellowship, but this thing is happening and that thing is happening. I've got to go to this event. I've got to go to that event. Oh, there's a Styx concert. Y'all, you know who Styx is? There's a Molly Cyrus concert. All right. Janis Joplin's the last one I went to live and in person. Right. Let you know that I am old and decrepit. So, in those things, he said, perilous times are going to come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. How about covetous? Are people covetous in the church? Well, yeah, I think covetous is like one of those big Ten Commandments, isn't it? Thou shalt not covet. Huh, wow. In the church, in the last days, how about boasters? Oh, I know everything. I'm so good. Look at me. Just pat me on the back. I studied, I memorized, I went to Awana. Right? I know more scripture than all of you. Ain't I good? Ain't I great? Boasters. I have a doctorate on my wall. My name is Dr. Seuss. Right? The Cat in the Hat, man. And right? How many churches are desiring teachers having itching ears today? I don't want somebody spirit-led. I want somebody who went to one of those cemeteries called seminaries to learn the perverted word of God, a different gospel which is not a gospel. And Paul said, even if an angel from heaven comes down and preaches to you another gospel, let him be damned, accursed. That's what accursed means. Damned to the hellfires. Damned to everlasting persecution. Damned before God. And we have, unfortunately, women and homosexuals and men behind the pulpits of America and behind the pulpits of the world that are preaching another gospel. Tell me that we are not in the end of days. That we are not approaching this like a freight train running downhill, or a diesel run down. Anyhow, keep my mind on this. How about proud blasphemers? Disobedient to parents. We got any Christian kids that are disobedient to the parent? Nearly every single one of them. You know, Scripture has a lot to say about raising children, doesn't it? So you ain't got to take my word for it. You can go right to Proverbs, right? Proverbs tells you that the blows that strike the flesh will cleanse away evil. That mean I need to whip my baby? Darn straight. You do. You need to put oh, I can't call the fella's name, but he does a lot of those child-rearing things. Dobson, Dr. Dobson. He said that there's a strong connection between the gluteus maximus and the cerebral cortex. You put the right pressure on the right spot, and it changes the mind. In fact, the blows that strike the flesh cleanse away evil. The father who hates his son spares the rod. So if you hate your child, don't discipline them. Don't tell them right from wrong. And now, not every child needs to be whipped. My sister, you could look at her and she would crumble in a corner and cry for weeks, right? I needed a good beating, right? I'm stubborn, right? You can ask my wife and anybody who really knows me. You cannot force me to do nothing. Ask every teacher that tried to teach me. You cannot force me to learn that. You can make me read it, I won't learn it. You can make me eat it, I won't swallow it. I ain't doing it. That's why it took me 12 years to get through 6 years of school. That's no joke. I have a full sixth grade education. I did not get my good enough degree, GED, until I was over 40. And the only reason I did that is to get another stupid piece of paper from Liberty, which is a stupid piece of paper. It's my doctorate. I don't have a doctorate. Anyhow, they're truth speakers. Disobedient to unthankful and unholy. How many people in the church are unthankful for the many blessings? Unthankful for the cancer that they have. If we believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called for His purpose, then guess what? Cancer has a place in your life. Death has a place in your life. Uncomfortableness. Suffering. Wow. If we don't suffer with Christ, do you think that we're going to be glorified with Him? Scripture says just the opposite of that. So all those people who believe that they will, church people who believe that they should not suffer because God loves them more than He loves anybody else. Look at Jesus on the cross. We just looked at this in Hebrews today. Despising the shame, He endured the cross. He suffered. He bled for us. And it's not that He just suffered on the cross. He suffered in all of His ministry. He suffered when He went into the churches, to the synagogues, and preached the truth of God's Word, and they hated Him for that. Don't you think that was suffering? Amen. Paul persecuting the church. Saul persecuting the church, later turned into Paul. How about Peter? How about how he suffered? John, how he suffered? James, how he suffered? But we're not supposed to suffer because God will never punish His bride. Yeah. Wait a second. All right, God will never beat His bride. And I've heard that before. A thousand times, who's heard that? Out of the churches of America. God will never punish His bride. Anyone? Or am I the only one that's heard that? Amen? Have you heard that? All right, praise God. At least a couple have. So I have heard this taught from the pulpits that God will never punish His bride for nothing, no matter what she does. But it pleased Him to crucify His Son? That doesn't add up. I mean, I love my wife, no doubt. But there's a different love I have for your son, right? Right? Your son, that's a little short guy that runs around. Love him to death. He is perfect little boy. Amen. Absolutely perfect. And I'm blowing smoke for you and for your grandparents too, right? Or your parents, his grandparents. Perfect little boy. Smile. Kevin and his little big grandbabies, the little short, cute ones, right? Before they grow into teenagers, little devils. So anyhow, before they grow, she's saying amen. Before they grow into that, and you train them and you bring them up and you, there's nothing quite like puppy love. Little baby children just slobbering, kissing on you. Oh, ain't that good? It's good stuff. It's beautiful stuff. But they are evil on their inside. They are, and it's not that they try to be, they just are. Well, in the church, in the last days, you're going to see these little kids grow up to be unthankful, unholy, unrighteous. How about parents in the church that have lost their natural affection? Abortion is as rampant in the church as it is in the world. Divorce is as rampant in the church, or maybe even more so in the church, than it is in the world. Fornication is more rampant in the church, or at least as much as it is in the world. You've lost natural affection. That's a loss of things. Incontinence. Fears, despisers of those things that are good. Traitors. Do you think that there's traitors in the church?
Absolutely.
Amen. God called Israel when they wouldn't follow the word of God. He said that they went a-whoring. They were traitors. They were in this covenant of marriage or this betrothal covenant. And they were going out and worshiping other gods. How many Christian, professing Christian, are worshiping other gods? I don't have my cell phone on me. Facebook, that's another god. All right? A lot of folks don't like you to hear that. TikTok, that's another god. The internet, as wonderful as the internet is, it is wicked and evil at its very core. Amen. Does it have some good things in it? Well, sure. Sin is pleasurable for a moment, for a time, but the end thereof is death. You lay with that stuff, you take your time that you should be worshiping and honoring and loving the body and in fellowship, and you put that in social media? You're a traitor. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. How many folks have a form of godliness that go to the church? Oh, on Sunday I look my best, but on Monday I'm going to the poker joint. You know, I'm going to the this thing, or I'm going to that thing. Wednesday, I can't come to church on Wednesday. I got way too many things cooking. Desperate Housewives is on. Can't miss that. How many folks we know call themselves Christians get caught up in that? And I ain't throwing stones at them. I'm just pointing. I'm pointing at myself as much as I'm pointing. Well, I'm here every Wednesday. Amen. I'm here every time. Well, you're the pastor. You ought to be. Okay. When I was attending Open Door, unless I was sick, I didn't work on Sunday or Wednesday unless I was sick, something was dire wrong, or I was on vacation. That was the only time I wasn't at the church when the church opened. I did not miss. And I'm not saying that as a boasting thing. I wanted to be with the people of God more than the people of the world. Anyhow. Folks, I love you. There's so much more. 2 Peter chapter 3, we haven't even got into that. We haven't got into, oh my goodness. And I made these shorter on purpose. There's Luke 17, there's Matthew 24, there's a focus on verse 36 through 39 of Matthew 24. Because they didn't even know until the flood came, right? They didn't know until... We can pick this up next week, right? Amen. That's what we're going to do. Because the church needs to awaken out of our sleep.
We got Bibles.
Amen. You got Bibles. Amen. You got Bibles. Read them. Right? Believe them. apply them to your life. Well, if you believe it, you'll apply it to your life. But if you don't read it, if you don't do what Paul was writing to Timothy about exhortation, about all Scripture is given, right? Where, that's in Timothy. Where's that at? All Scripture is given for, is profitable for inspiration, for correction.
3:16.
3:16? 3:17,
yep.
Yeah, amen. All right. 3:16 of 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Woohoo! All right. Amen. There's a good note to stop on right there. Study your Scripture. Apply your Scripture. It is profitable. It is profitable. You will be a better human being as you study your Word of God. You will be a better parent. You'll be a better worker. You'll be a better wife or a better husband. You'll be a better grandparent. You will be better, not because of your work, but you taking the time to apply the Word of God in your life in a real personal way. And you can't do that asleep. Wake up. We're closer to the day than what you might think. Well, I'll say it again and again and again and again. I do not know when that 3.5 years will start, but I do know there are some things I will see. I will see a temple being built in Jerusalem. And Alan's not here, but he sent me this temple that is being built right now, not in Jerusalem. This is in Yemeni. Yemeni. Anyhow, being built. But what it is, they're bringing the Muslim church there. They're bringing the Christian church there, and I wish Alan was here. He'd tell me. There's the three world religions are coming under one roof to worship one God, and they built this huge, it's already built, it's this huge facility in Yemeni. I can't stop myself. In Yemen, right? And it's already there, it's already built.
The revivals are inviting our religion.
Thank you. The revivals are ecumenicalism, bringing all into one. So no longer is it a narrow way. No longer is there one way. I am the way. No longer is it that. It's any way, every way, any way. Hinduism was the other thing.
That's not the truth.
Amen. It's not the truth. There's only one way. Right. So these revivals that are going on right now are not real revivals. They are revival unto death, not unto eternal life. Revival of emotions and not of reality. Anyhow, knowing the time, it is high time to awaken out of sleep. Anyone hear an alarm clock ringing? I do. It's not physical. There's a spiritual alarm clock ringing in the church that God is trying to awaken the sleeping church. Because the wickedness isn't coming, people. It is here. And most of us, the great majority of the so-called Christian church today, is going to be sucked away like the tidy bowl man, if you know where he used to live in, right? You're going to be sucked away into the nothingness of the septic tank of life because we do not fear God. Good news. Amen. I love you guys. I could not preach this to you if I didn't love you. I couldn't tell you these things if I didn't have a real fear for you and for me. We need to be awakened for the time. Anyhow, who wants to close in prayer? Anybody feel led of the Lord to close your man, woman, child? It doesn't matter. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can pray.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you that you are a God who visits His children.
Yes, Jesus.
Dwells within them and visits them. Thank you for the Word of God that enlightens us. that sheds the darkness. Thank you, Father God, for preaching that shows that your word is the final authority. Thank you, Father God, for exposing the doctrines of men and the lies of men that are in the church. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus Christ, who is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, that in Him is the light of the world, and that light chases out darkness. No, Father God, we do not pretend to know everything, but we believe it.
Yes.
And Lord, you said, if we just trust in your word, believe your word, you will guide us. And there is a people here. We know we're not the only ones. You always have a remnant that are just trusting in your word and not being led around by every wind of doctrine, every conspiracy. Lord, no matter what they do to us, they cannot cast the soul in hell. Father God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. That you are God that is long-suffering and full of compassion and slow to anger.
Yes, Jesus.
I know that because you've done that with me. And if you've done it with me, you've done it with my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But the day is coming, Lord, that you will not return as a lamb slain at the altar, but you will return as King of Kings and take authority, and we will enter your kingdom. Thank you for the promises made to us. Let us continue and walk in the way. I pray, Father God, that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every person in
Lord
this
Jesus,
place.
Praise you.
Not to get caught up in the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride, and the pride of life. Father God, I thank you that you are a God who takes his children under his wing. And as we try to depart, you pull us back in. You are very kind to us,
yes,
Father
Jesus,
God.
Praise you.
Let us never forget the pit that we were dug out of. Cause us to be a people that are obedient to you. Cause us not to be a reproach and a shame to your name, but to honor it. Father God, your head is perfect, and his name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, the body of Christ, your church, needs to be perfect too. Let us walk in his ways, and we'll wait for that day. Until that day, Lord, we will continue in faith. And the devil and the minions will be defeated on that day. And we look forward to it. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Go have a strong week.